It's a joy for me to be here this morning with you to worship the Lord and also to share the word. I was looking forward to this week, this Sunday, especially because of the desire to dedicate my granddaughter, Abe's daughter, and I was also told that today is the 25th year of the existence of this chapel. So I wanted to be there for that occasion. As I was standing there, our brother praying for Joanne, I was thinking of the other two who were also dedicated at two different times, my other two granddaughters who were running around and making a little noise, etc. And I was thinking in my mind, yeah, that is part of the growing up. And they will learn to adjust themselves, manage themselves and their emotions. And before even we know, I'm sure in God's grace, they will know the Lord, they will serve the Lord. And I want to be able to say that as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Just before I introduce a text and share with you a message the Lord has laid on my heart, I just want to encourage your heart by a story. I have not verified this story, but I have heard it several times, of a mother in South India, in the state called Tamil Nadu, where this mother went for a gospel meeting, which was a large gathering, an evening gathering. She did not have any offering to put when the offering bag came around her. And she was sad, but all of a sudden, something came to her mind, saying, I can do something as an offering. What she did, she took her little boy and placed him in this large offering bag. It was a basket, a large basket. She placed him there and she said, I have nothing else to offer. I offer this child to you. And this child grew up as a fine young man who has come to know the Lord. God has raised him to be one of the mightiest witnesses in Tamil Nadu for the gospel of Christ. He has written numerous Tamil songs. They are all classical songs. You can sit for hours listening to the music that he has composed. His grandchildren continue to sing. Thousands of people utter praises of God because of the contributions of this great man of God. His name was Veda Nayaka Shastriyar. I do not know if any of my friends from India have heard of this name, Veda Nayaka Shastriyar, a great name in the Christian tradition of southern India. I'm just thinking that this could be the possibility of each and every one of us, especially of our children, as they are brought to the Lord. Only heaven knows what they can become in the hands of God. If God's people continue to nurture them in the grace of God, in the understanding of God's word, and model Christian life for them, and they can transform the world, they can impact the world. So thank God for all the children. Well, I am introduced here as Abe's dad. I am Thomas Kulanyil. For the last 24 years, I have been worshiping in one assembly called Bethany Chapel, Wheaton, Illinois, where I also serve as an elder. I have seen the assemblies grow, assemblies becoming thin and thinner. Currently, we are experiencing the thinning aspect of the assembly life. There used to be a time when my wife, Omina, used to say, we need to rush to the church, otherwise we won't get a seat. And usually, if I am late for a couple of minutes, I don't want to go to the front and sit, front views. I would prefer to sit somewhere in the last pews or something like that. If we happen to, because we have a distance to drive, if we happen to be getting to the church a little late, my wife would straight walk to the front and occupy a seat. And myself and Abe sometimes, or my daughter, we would walk upstairs and sit there because we don't want to others to know that we walked late. But my wife already said that we came late. This morning I had that kind of a reminder. Abe told me, if you want to go ahead, we are getting a bit late because two children have to be got ready. If you want to just go ahead of us, that's fine. Drive and go. I said, why? We can go together. He said, if you are going to be late, you may not get seat. I thought, oh, well, that's a good problem to have. Well, my friends in the Lord, I'm thankful to the Lord that God has sustained the witness of the Lord in this part of the state, the city. I remember perhaps vaguely the times in which some of the brethren sitting here initiated the work here, and maybe some who were originally part of the assembly may not be here. They may be with the Lord, but you see how God has prospered the work. I myself have not, although I am originally from Kerala, in my whole life, I never belonged to an exclusive Malayalam-speaking Kerala community church. I have never been to that kind of a church. I always belonged to a mixed group, mixed language groups, Tamil, Malayalam, Hindi, Bengali, that kind of congregation. That was my experience in the city of Madras when I was growing up. And then when I moved to Calcutta, same thing, Bengali, English, speaking people, Hindi-speaking people. What a joy for us to worship the Lord in many tongues and then to know that we all praise one God, Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And so my heart rejoices in the work of the Lord here, and I would promise you that as much as I can pray or remember, I will continue to uphold you in my prayers. Now, turn with me to a passage of the scripture, perhaps a very familiar passage of the scripture. It is a narration of a little history of a church. And with that, I would like to place some thoughts, share some thoughts with you. Turn with me to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, starting at verse 19. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, starting at verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them, all that with the purpose of heart, that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed up the Spirit, by the Spirit, that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send a relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for the text that is put before us, your word. As we meditate upon this word, we pray that you will speak to us, illumine our hearts with the truth of your word. Speak as I, help me, Lord, as I speak, and help my brothers and sisters as they listen, and help us together respond to you in a manner in which we will commit ourselves to serve you, follow you, and fully trust in you. We pray this in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the story here is of a prominent church and its formation. It was not prominent at the time. It was the church at Antioch has a very humble start, beginning. There is already an existing church in Jerusalem, which is a concentration of Christians and apostles, and the Christian church and the Christian community is just began to grow. But that is in the midst of great persecutions. And we know that a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, Stephen, was put to death. And immediately followed great persecutions, which scattered this early community of believers. So the text tell us here that these people were scattered from Jerusalem to different places, like Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, and such places. The scattered believers, as they came to Antioch, they limited their sharing of the gospel to the Jews, perhaps for two reasons. One is, there was still this prejudice towards the Gentiles that the mercy of God, the grace of God, salvation of God was not to be received, proclaimed to the Gentiles because God is for the Jews, the chosen people. And some of the Judaizers propagated that kind of an idea in the minds of these early Christians, and perhaps that kept them away from sharing the gospel. There was this kind of a social barrier there. And then the second thing is that there was this great fear among them. They have fled from a context of persecution. Now they are in a new setting, a new unfamiliar society, place, and they were not very sure as what they should do with their faith, but at least some of them could not keep it any longer within them. They had to bring it out. They had to reveal it. They had to share it with others, their neighbors, their friends, or the people that came across, that they were followers of a person by name Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, that he died and rose again. And there is a small group of believers in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. And so they slowly started sharing this experience that they have with the people that they came across. So I can identify three or four facts or truths concerning this church that was established in Antioch. The first truth I would like to share with you, even if I don't finish all of my outline that I have here, I can just give you the gist of my talk. The first characteristic of this church established in Antioch is that it is a witnessing church. We will see more about that. Or it was a witnessing church. And then it also became a growing church. It was a growing church. The Lord was daily adding people to the church. And thirdly, it was a spiritually nurtured church. There was Paul and Barnabas there committing themselves to nurture this new body of believers. So it was a spiritually nurtured church. And fourthly, it was a church that demonstrated Christian charity, a charitable church. Did you get all the points? I finished my sermon. Okay, so a witnessing church that we find in verses 19 to 20. 19 and 20 talks about the witnessing character of the Antiochian church. Verse 21 talks about the growing aspect of this church, a growing church. And verses 22 to 26 talks about the spiritually nurtured church, the commitment two servants of God had for this church. And verses 27 to 30, the charitable church. Well, you will ask me, are there many more history about this church? Yes, there is little more history about this church, but not a great lot here. At least the chapters following tell us that this also became a missionary church, a church that sent out missionaries, especially two prominent missionaries, Barnabas and Paul. They were commissioned, commended, and sent out. And then we also know the three great missionary journeys Paul took, as a result of which the gospel of Christ was brought to the greater Asia Minor and introduced even to Europe, and then churches established everywhere. So the Antioch church was a vibrant church, I want to believe. But now we would like to look into the early beginnings of this church, where we see in verse 19, as I said, that these people are persecuted. These were persecuted Christians, those who began their witness. So these few believers, the Jewish believers, as they began to reflect on their Christian experience, they realized that, you know, persecution, scattering of our experiences of being scattered cannot stop us from sharing the gospel with our neighbor. So that's what they started doing. So they started sharing the gospel with the belief that gospel cannot be bound. It cannot be chained. It cannot be restrained by any external circumstances. Actually, later in Paul's life, Paul, when he was imprisoned, he would say, gospel cannot be imprisoned or chained, bound. Though he was in prison, Paul was much more useful for the Lord and much more productive. And the gospel was reaching out beyond the walls of a prison. So the gospel that was unbound was coming out from the mouths of these believers. Well, notice here in verse 19, there is no name of who started this assembly or this witness. They are ordinary believers. They are unnamed people. No name recorded here. Well, Christian witness takes place with the witness of unknown people, ordinary people like you and me. Evangelism is not always done by elders and deacons or evangelists or some specially gifted people. Evangelism is the call of every Christian. That's what we see here in this passage. When I was in Calcutta many, many years back, I actually heard and then taught. Technology can be used, right? I taught a song to Sunday school children. And I guess even my daughter might remember this song. I have not been singing this for a long years, but recently I remembered this song. If you know this, please sing, or you can learn it later. It starts this way. If you tell two people, and I tell two people, then four more people will know. If they tell two people, and we tell two people, then more and more people will know. God gave us his son. He died for each one, but not all have heard the good news. So you tell two people, and I tell two people, and God's family will grow. Wonderful. That's what happened in Antioch. Can God use you as gospel witnesses? In this part of the country, this neighborhood, in this land, elsewhere, can God do that with a local assembly? Again, I rejoice that your assembly is a witnessing assembly. And these men had enough conviction and courage to share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you literally believe that this is a message that makes a difference of life and death, then how can you keep quiet with the gospel that has saved you, gospel that has brought to you the grace of God? It has to be shared with others. So they became mighty witnesses of the Lord, empowered by the Holy Spirit. God, Holy Spirit gave them the power, gave them the opportunity, and they shared the gospel. Verse 19, again, it is something that is very revealing to us, in the sense that the people, the fearful people, the people who were living with some kind of prejudice, broke that and shared the gospel with the Gentiles. Of course, with Peter's ministry, and especially his ministry to Cornelius, etc., God was already confirming that God's salvation is for everyone. God is not a God of partiality. Now, Gentiles have been given the gospel, given the Holy Spirit. They are given salvation in Christ Jesus. Peter is a minister of that gospel. Cornelius is a minister of that gospel. It is for that gospel that another man was brought to God's kingdom, Paul. We will see more about Paul. Okay, let's move on. We see in verse 20, some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. They were preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. You may want to disagree with me. I just want to think of that particular verse not as a big campaign preaching, not organized preaching, street preaching. I rather take it as a personal evangelism. Would that be okay? It was preaching of the word. It was the declaration of God's word. It was presentation of the person and work of Christ. But for these people in their context, I think it is more personal evangelism, although some of them might have gone out to the community and together as a group they must have witnessed. But whether it is a group witness, whether it is a loud preaching, or whether it is a personal sharing of a Christian experience, the word was going out of this community, verses 19 and 20. Verse 21 tells us this, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. He said, this is a growing church. How do we know? A great many number of people were turning to the Lord. What's the meaning of turning to the Lord? Repentance. Repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having been convicted of their sins, having been received the word, they've been turning to the Lord. And those who have been repented and turned to the Lord has been adding them to the church of God. So, a great number of people were added to the Lord. Experience of growth. And I believe that some of you who were here earlier, maybe some 20 years back, 25 years back, or even recently, you may be able to say that our assembly is a growing assembly, or new people are being added. We are trying to witness. We are trying to reach out our neighborhood. We are trying to reach communities that otherwise would not be reached. We are trying to address the needs of the young people. We are addressing the challenges of the culture around us. So if you think, or if you are doing that already, I want to believe that God will continue to prosper you in the work of the Lord. The assembly will grow. Now look into verse 21. What is the secret of the growth of the assembly? By the way, no number given is not about, is not that 3,000 people or 5,000 people came to the Lord or added to the church. There is no number there. But the simple fact that it was daily growing. Because of what? The witness of the people and the community. What is the secret of the growth of this church? The hand of the Lord. I come from a city where we had a very, very large mega church, over 50,000 people. I don't have anything about big churches, but I have problems with the techniques these churches use. The CEO of the church, the officers of the church, the secular model of the church, lot of activities added, lot of programs, everything is high-tech. I'm thankful to the Lord that we have a screen there. I can see the words projected there. There's no problem with those things. But if you think that the growth of the church, the blessing of the church depends upon the man-made mechanism, we have lost the secret of church growth that the book of Acts reveals to us. It is simply, my brother and sister, the hand of the Lord. What does the hand of the Lord tell us here? Hand of the Lord is about the power of God. As people of God began to share their Christian experience with their neighbors, the people that came on their way, God began to work in the hearts of people. Your job is, and my job is, simply to share the gospel. God is the one who gives the results. God is the one who brings conviction and regeneration in the hearts of people. That's what happened to this community. Lord's hand was upon them. It is about the power of God. Now, how do God's power work? It is through His Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was working amongst them. The Spirit of God was doing His convicting work in the lives of people, saving sinners, rescuing them from their sins. The hand of the Lord was upon them. I trust that many of us here know that only if we yield ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit and to the mighty hand of God, that we can see any change happening in our communities, in the hearts of people. May I call upon you as a church to pray, to come together, to fast, earnestly seek after God's guidance for the things that you want to do for this assembly beyond this year or this point of your celebration of 25th year? How about another 25th year? What are your plans? Do you have a vision for your assembly? I remember living in India again. My immediate reference goes to some of the early experiences are from India, so you will forgive me. I remember an young prime minister sharing with the nation his dream for the nation. He said, our land is a great nation. I have a vision, a dream for my country, India. I want my country to be prosperous, to be one of the best nations of the world. This was from Rajiv Gandhi, a former India's prime minister who was murdered in less than 2 years after he became a prime minister. We know the great dream speech of Martin Luther King, "I have a dream." That was a dream for a free America, an America that breaks the prejudices of class and color, etc. What is your vision for your assembly? What is your vision for the Church of God? What is your vision and your mission for the Kingdom of God? So, verse 21, please register to your heart, and I do it for me as well. I want the hand of the Lord, the power of God, to work among us. The Spirit of God doing His work, using us, unknown people, as instruments in His hands, that His word are shared and sowed, which will never come back fruitless or waste. It will never go waste. It will show its fruit in time as God works amongst us. Now, moving on to the third point I wanted to share with you. In fact, I have a lot to say from this third aspect of this church. The first one, we said it was a witnessing church. And secondly, we said it was a growing church. And thirdly, it was a spiritually nurtured church. I'm told that in the first 2 or 3 years of the conversion of a believer, especially from a non-Christian background, that first 2 or 3 years are very, very, very foundational, very critical in their Christian growth. Because they heard the gospel, received the gospel. When they confessed their faith, they simply knew that they were sinners, Christ is a great Savior, and by faith I receive Him. But they have not learned more about who Christ is, what the person and work of Christ is. They have no knowledge about the Christian understanding of God, soteriology, ecclesiology, and many, many aspects of it. They do not know. They are not disciplined. They are not discipled. They want to follow Christ, but they are not discipled. They need somebody to come along with them, walk with them in their Christian journey. They need to be taught of God's word. You agree with me? Of course, we need help beyond those 3 years. All of our lives, we need help from God's people to teach us God's word, interpret God's word, pray with us, and guide us in developing Christian character. So, I am impressed with this ministry that was brought to this community. Verse 22 following. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Couple of things here. So the news of this growing church, witnessing church, reached out to Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church with the spiritual responsibility wanted to know what is happening in Antioch. And they have sent out one of their spiritual men, Barnabas. Interesting to know the meaning of Barnabas is son of encouragement. And Barnabas comes there. And look at his reaction. He came. What did he see? You can respond. This is, what did he see when he came to the church? He saw the grace of God. What is in that expression? Barnabas saw the grace of God. In what way? What was the demonstration of the grace of God? Grace of God in the lives of people that God has brought to their congregation. Grace of God in the faces of people who have got saved. God's grace was working, operating in the lives of these people. And when Barnabas learned that God is mightily working in this community, a small community, God is saving people. The grace of God was so evident in them, and he was glad. He was rejoicing. My friends, when is the last time you rejoiced in hearing about the work of the Lord, maybe in Latin America, maybe in downtown Dallas, in India, in Africa? I know our brother, my brother, Alex, he travels all around the world. He comes and gives you a report. I've been to this place. I've been to that place. And this is what happened. This many people received the Lord. There is a new testimony established there. And there you want to pray for this evangelist who has committed to serve the Lord amidst great persecution. Want to pray for the assembly needs. Want to pray for this and that. Do you rejoice in the grace of God? That is a great attitude to develop. Heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. Salvation of a sinner is so great for the heavens that the heavens rejoice. Do you, the saved Christian, rejoice in the work of God in the lives of people? Okay, that is one thing I want to notice about this man of God. So he was glad, he rejoiced. What did he do? He encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. They were encouraged to continue their faith and walk with the Lord. What else did Barnabas do? He brought another servant of God to the picture. Who is that? Saul. Later to be known as Paul. I have a thought here. Barnabas had no idea like what this Saul is going to be becoming in future. But in some way he recognized that Saul has some additional capabilities or equal capabilities with me. But yet he was not threatened by Saul and his giftedness. He brought Saul as a partner in the ministry. One of the problems for Christian workers is to partner with another servant of God. One servant of God having difficulty with another servant of God because there is this inferiority, superiority complex, or I have more skills, or I am more educated. Saul, he is a servant of God. He is useful for me to work here in this assembly. And later, God uses both of them as missionaries, commended missionaries for the outreach in Asia. That's the kind of attitude that the brothers should have in this assembly and anywhere else, partnering for the gospel together. Okay, my time, I have just 1 minute. With 1 minute, I think I can do this. This church, fourthly, was a church that gave from their little means. They demonstrated charity when they were told that there is a great famine coming and it is going to affect the believers in Judea area. And we read here that they determined to send a relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea, and they gave from their abilities. Church of God is always called to share from the resources. You may be a prosperous church or may not be a prosperous one. But when there is a need to care for other assemblies, other brethren, other saints of God, the household of God, you cannot just walk away. This early church, very early church, give us that lesson, spiritual lesson. Share from your resources. Care for God's people. That God wants his people to open up from their treasures and stand with other fellow believers as helpers. Well, brothers and sisters, let me just conclude with these thoughts that encourage my own hearts. That you have a wonderful assembly. And as you celebrate your 25th year of existence, may your church be one like the church in Antioch, a witnessing church. A growing church, a spiritually growing church, and that it will be a church that will demonstrate practical Christian charity to others. May God bless the leadership here. May God bless the elders and deacons and all others who are part of this work. May the hand of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, be upon your assembly and your work. Thank you for giving me this opportunity and perhaps one of you. Okay, let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity of considering your word. We thank you for the example that came to us from the Church of Antioch. We pray that our churches, especially this church, would continue to become a church that witnessed the gospel of Christ, a church that will grow, a church that will be established in the word of God, nurtured by God's word. And a church that will stand with the needs of saints around, and a church that will be vibrant for the gospel of Christ. Bless our time, bless our fellowship together, bless this evening gathering also, Lord. We pray this in the most precious name of Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.